Whether you're starting or scaling your company's security program, demonstrating top-notch security practices and establishing trust is more important than ever. Vanta automates compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more, saving you time and money while helping you build customer trust. Plus, you can streamline security reviews by automating questionnaires and demonstrating your security posture with a customer-facing trust center, all powered by Vanta AI. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, Flow Health, and Quora use Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. Get $1,000 off Vanta when you go to vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off.
On radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers, this is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to InvestTalk. This is our Tuesday, November 12th, 2024 edition of InvestTalk. Appreciate you all tuning in for this hour, and I'm excited to unpack your questions as well as the current market conditions that continue to evolve in a very interesting way post-election. And, you know, there's still news to figure out and to analyze as we go through this new administration, and what policies they're likely to put in place and how that will affect broader economies, broader asset markets, and individual sectors and companies. And so we'll take a look at all of this on today's show as best as we can and follow along in day to day. And I'll give you updates as I see information come in and keep you abreast of the way the market's evolving and expectations for asset prices. Now, let's dig into, well, in a bit, we'll dig into the market performance and run down some show topics. But as usual, we'll tackle this caller question first.
Hi, Justin or Luke. This is Sid from Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm looking to check your inputs on Airbnb, ticker symbol ABNB, Airbnb. I'll listen to your response on the podcast. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful evening. Bye.
All right. Looking at Airbnb, I don't think I need to tell everybody what they do, but they went public back in, what was that, late 2020, around $150 per share, hit a high up around, what level is this, around 215, 220, somewhere in that range. But it's been in a downtrend really ever since late 2021, like it, as in the whole growth sector. And this is along with it. And this continues to make a series of lower highs and lower lows when you zoom out to, say, a weekly chart. So in a downtrend since the IPO on a longer term basis, as well as on the shorter term basis, its recent high back in March was around $170 per share. Recently hit a low of about 110, and now it's up to 133. So it's in a nice downtrend. And the reason for that downtrend is because earnings are expected to fall this year from $4.27 to $4.01 this year. And those estimates for this year and next year are coming down. So talking about $4 in earnings on $133 stock, that's over a 30 multiple for a company who's, once again, their business is shrinking to a degree. And I think there are various reasons for this. Obviously, the consumer is starting to right-size their travel budget. In a post-COVID, everyone was itching to get out and do the things that they've always wanted to do, taking those big vacations they weren't able to. And a lot of them have done that. And so the demand for travel is slowing, or at least that growth of travel. And I think also when it comes to Airbnbs, they're starting to become more let's say hotels are becoming more competitive in many instances than renting an Airbnb. So I think Airbnb will have its place, but I think the growth will continue to slow. And you can see that in the revenue side as well. The first quarter of 2023, revenue was up 20% year over year. And it's been trending lower in growth ever since. And last quarter, revenue growth was only 10%. So you have 10% revenue growth, negative top or bottom line growth, right? Profits. So what multiple are you willing to pay? You're really going to pay a 30 plus multiple for something that is shrinking in its profitability? Now, it is very profitable, 22% return on equity, return on invested capital at 17, free cash flow about $4 billion. But that $4 billion is falling, right? It went from $4.3 billion now to $4.1 billion. And it's kind of flatlining and looking like it's rolling over. And that's why the chart is rolling over as well. So certainly a name to keep on the watch list, but I think it needs to, I think I have one more leg lower. One more leg lower and extensive leg lower. I'm talking back to the all-time lows around 85 in that area. I think I would love Airbnb. But the technicals right now are too poor, and I would be patient on it to find one last flush well below $100 per share, and that's where I'd pick up Airbnb. Thanks for the call. There will be a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes or so, and our main focus point today is about gold, and gold has been selling off since the Trump election, and we'll talk about why that is. We have other topics on the docket as well. One is in regards to a bankruptcy out of Germany. And this is a company called eVolt. All right, so eVTOL. There you go. eVTOL, E-V-T-O-L. And it is a company that makes electric vertical takeoff and landing vehicles. Okay. And it's called Lilium. I apologize. It was called Lilium. And I'm going to dig into the story because it will teach you a lot of lessons around these type of names and cutting edge technology companies and where they can, a lot of people talk about Tesla and it can go one way, others, it can go very south. So we'll look at that story. And then also, I want to hit on something that is important to understand about the United States. Is that we have a very dynamic economy. For all of our problems and all of the issues that you see and hear about, we have a lot of great strengths. And one of them is our startup culture and ability for people to start new businesses, pursue their dreams, and build dynamic companies that innovate and grow the economy and create jobs. And so I wanted to look at that because it's very important to have this context. I know you can talk about a lot of negative things, but I want to hit on one that's very, very positive. So we'll look at that topic. We also have voice bank calls in regards to RTX Corp, as well as covered call strategies. And then lastly, we have some questions that came in via the comment section over on our YouTube channel. And of course, I welcome your finance and investment questions right now. We're heading into a short break. And on the other side, I'll talk about today's market activity and take questions on the Invest Talk Anytime listener line from 888-99-CHART.
Invest Talk is made better when listeners add their voices.
This is Nick from Seattle.
Hey, this is Steve out of Charleston, South Carolina.
Could you comment on Barrick Gold? G-O-L-D.
And Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero are always ready to provide unbiased answers.
Be patient. Don't rush into anything. Understand what you own.
I would probably trim here, but I don't see any reason why you'd want to sell out of it.
Voice bank calls are very important, but so are the spontaneous questions that come in during the Invest Talk live stream.
Let's pivot over to a live call. We love those.
Looks like we got our first live call. I love live calls. Let's
go. If you've never called, what are you waiting for?
Let's go take another live call.
Tell your friends, live a little, live a little.
It's like we got a live call.
Call Invest Talk, weekdays from 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific Time.
That makes sense?
Yeah, it sure does. I appreciate the advice.
888-99-CHART. The numbers are in. Invest Talk. Now with more than 60 million downloads. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero are ready to answer your finance and investment questions 24/7. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Now let's go take a look at the market today. It was the first real negative day since the Trump victory. And we had the small caps down a little over 1%, actually nearly 2%, 1.75%. You had the S&P down about 30 basis points there, and the NASDAQ was down slightly as well. You had some big movers. Shopify was certainly a big winner on the day, but you had some big losers like Tesla. Tesla was down about 6% on the day. And if I pull up the heat map of the S&P 500, you can see, actually, pull this. This is the Russell 3000. There we go. Wanted to pull another piece. NVIDIA was up a little bit, but Broadcom down about 1.5%. Qualcomm down 3%. Apple and Google were about flat. Microsoft and Amazon up about 1%. What were some other big losers here? Airbnb, that was down about 3% on the day. Eli Lilly, a lot of the healthcare stocks were down. And I think that's where you can continue to see. That's where I think the market's getting it right. I do think that the health industry, the medical industry is going to see some struggles around their products and the ability to raise prices on those products, et cetera. And so I think the weakness out of healthcare does make a lot of sense. I do think we're getting a little bit overbought overall in the broader markets. And I think we need to at least consolidate from here, you know, big move post-election. And as I said at the top of the show, there's still a lot to be determined with who is going to be part of the administration, what their priorities will be, and how that will feed into policy and ultimately asset class movement. So I do think parts of the market are getting a bit ahead of themselves. And you saw a bit of recognition, I think, on that today with some of those names coming back in. Now, I hope you've been telling your friends and family about our podcast being available in video form as well over on our YouTube channel. And we have questions submitted over there from Nicholas Collins, 4260. He says, I'm wondering, what you think of Vici Properties. Vici Properties is pulled back as of late, but I think it's a quality company and it would be a good buy at this point. Am I wondering what you think of this company? Well, first off, let me correct you a bit. I know this is in some ways semantics, but in many ways not. This is a REIT. Okay. So this is a real estate investment trust. It's not a company. Okay. So what a REIT is, it's basically a pass through entity. Okay. REITs, if they pass on 90%+ of their cash flow on the shareholders, then they get to avoid taxes at the corporate level. Now you pay it, or the dividend receiver pays ordinary income tax on this yield. So it yields 5.5%. That is going to be taxed in a taxable account at your ordinary income tax rate. So understand that, number one. Now, what does Vici do? It's a REIT that owns, acquires, and develops experiential real estate assets across gaming, hospitality, and others. And we like Vici. I know we've owned Vici in the past. I believe we own some Vici bonds as well. And so we really like their assets overall. Now it has pulled back. Stock has pulled back from high around 34 down to on 31 today. And I think that's good support, frankly. Obviously, REITs are coming down because of higher interest rates. And Vici is not going to be immune to that. And I think that's one of the reasons for this sell-off. But I do think this is a good buying opportunity. It owns some great assets. It owns a bunch of big-time golf courses. It also owns the MGM Grand Caesar's Palace, if I remember correctly, in Las Vegas. They recently purchased. So they have some high-quality properties, consistent cash flow, and good balance sheet. And so of the REITs that are out there, especially in the gaming entertainment sector, we like Vici. V-I-C-I is the symbol. Now let's roll in to another listener question now.
Good morning, InvestTalk. I have a question on running a covered call strategy. I currently have been running a covered call strategy on ticker DRIM, Primoris. After the election, the stock just shot up. I'm in a point where I don't really want to roll it just because it looks expensive to do so. And I was wondering, could I just buy 100 more shares or however many shares and let that option get assigned? And then, you know, my brokerage would just know to take the higher price shares or call the higher price shares away. So that way I could keep my lower cost basis shares and avoid more capital gains tax. Really, I'm just looking to see if there's a way to do that to avoid extra taxes, or if you think it would be advisable just to roll that option into the next month. It expires here on the 15th of November. I'll listen on the show. Thanks, guys.
Well, if you keep the same strike and you want to roll it into the next month, you're going to get a credit for that. You're going to make a little bit of money on that. So if you don't really want to sell it, that's probably the best way to go about it, is to just roll it out another month or two. And now what you talked about is one way to do it as well, right? Buy the 100 shares of the underlying and tell your broker that you want last in, first out. So when you're looking, when settings in your brokerage account, you can usually it's set to first in, first out, meaning the first lot that you bought, say you bought this company over a year ago for 100 shares, that is your first purchase, first in, first out. And then if you bought 100 today or tomorrow, then that would be the last lot. Okay. And you can set it to sell the last lot versus the first lot. So that is one way to do it. What I would do, I just roll it out. Same strike, you'll get a credit. You don't want to sell it, right? To trigger that capital gains. That's the way I would handle the situation. Now we're moving into a break still to come in this podcast and radio show on AM 1220. I'll tackle more of your voice bank calls and get to the main focus point as well. So stay with me, but give us a call at 888-99-CHART. Pain, hang on, you will be next.
InvestTalk. Your questions are free. The answers are unbiased. Justin Klein is here now, 888-99-CHART.
Let's go take a live call. Chris from Maine looking at GOLD, Barrick Gold. Do you own it or looking to buy it?
Yeah. Hey, Justin. Thanks. Like always for taking my call. I appreciate it. I own it. I've owned it for a while. I'm in at about 15. I just wrote it up. You know, I felt about a month ago like I was really sitting good with it. And then they missed earnings, which kind of caught me off guard. I figured with the price of gold, it would be an easy beat. But I guess production costs really went up, so they didn't make earnings. They're claiming next quarter they're going to make earnings, but it's up in the air as far as I'm concerned. And now there's that, I know they have mining interest in Mali, and there's that Australian company that's running into some problems there. So do you feel like this is all kind of, because I have a full position, probably about 6% of my portfolio. Do you feel like that's enough, you know, questions in the air? Because I know you guys had it too, that, you know, maybe should trim some before it goes any lower. Or do you think it's pretty stable where it's at now?
Well, it is at support, and you're right. We do own, this is one of our smaller mining positions, but we do like it. And it's about $30 billion market cap. They have operations, like you said, all over the world. They have some copper mines as well, which we like. And yeah, they did miss earnings, but it was still solid 18% revenue growth. Earnings growth is 25%. And you're looking at profits for next year of $1.86 on a $17 stock. So something that looks like you're going to continue to get earnings growth accelerating into next year, trading at, you know, a high single digit forward looking multiple. That's to us very attractive. So I think this is an area where you would want to pick it up. Like I said, there's support here between, call it $16 and $17. Now it's at $17.02 right now, and did get a little bit of a bounce today. Intraday closed well off its lows. Lows today was around 1682, closed around 1702. So decent reversal. A lot of the miners did find a little bit of support today. We'll see if we can get some follow through to the upside tomorrow. But this is definitely into some good support. So I wouldn't be jumping ship here. In fact, I would be adding to it if you have room for it.
All right, great. Thanks for the advice. I appreciate it. You have a good evening.
Thanks for the call. And that brings me to our main focus point today, and that is about the falling gold price. Now, what's interesting here is everyone's talking about gold prices pulling back, but and they are for sure. Yeah, they're well off their highs just a few weeks ago, but we're basically back to the same prices that we had in late September. Okay, that's when the price of gold was at these same levels. So you're not talking about a major break. It's still above its 100-day moving average, and well, it's probably likely headed there, which would be the first major support level, just about $50 below where it is right now. Now, what is causing this sell-off? It's pretty simple. The dollar and interest rates. Interest rates have moved higher, and we know higher interest rates typically mean higher real rates, and then you see the alternative of investing in gold means putting it into things like treasuries and earning some sort of a yield. And so when yields go up, that's where you get the sell-off in gold. Then you have the dollar. The dollar strength is taking a little bit of steam out of a lot of commodities. And the question in my mind is, is the dollar really going to continue to move up? Now, typically there's some correlation, at least in the short term, between higher rates and the dollar. So higher rates means higher dollar. And that's what you've seen as of late. However, you know that Trump has said, along with his vice president, J.D. Vance, they want a weaker dollar. And so I think longer term, medium term, really, that the dollar is unlikely to sustain its recent rally. And I can easily see that finding weakness as we head into 2025. So, you know, those are the main reasons why the dollar has sold off. And if you look at, why the gold is sold off is because of the stronger dollar. And platinum, gold, and silver are the most negatively correlated commodities to the dollar. So that's why you're seeing weakness out of there. So I know a lot of people are asking about it. I actually think there's pretty good strength. And one thing you have to look at when you're seeing price movements is saying, okay, is this price movement more or less than what the reality is based on other factors, right? So meaning a good example would be earnings, okay? If earnings on a stock looks really bad, but the stock doesn't really go down that much, or maybe even goes up, what does that tell you? Well, you know, all the sellers are kind of gone and, you know, it likely rally and vice versa, right? The company blows out earnings, it looks great, but the stock barely goes up, that means it's too tired. And so what I often look at is when you see asset price moves is you say, okay, is that, yes, it's in directionally, that's correct because of the stronger dollar, because of higher rates, but is this a sell-off that is proportional or not? And the reality here is it's not really proportional, meaning I think there's still a decent amount of buyers, especially in the East. You're talking about, we've talked about China and Russia and other countries that are using gold as more of a reserve currency than the dollar, than treasuries, et cetera. It's the new kind of reserve asset of BRICS countries and elsewhere. And the consumer out of China as well, which doesn't have a lot of options when it comes to storing wealth into real estate that's doing poorly, into their equity markets that's doing poorly. Gold has been the most stable. And so that's why you continue to see money flow there. So I actually think this sell-off is a buying opportunity, but and also needed, really. It was overbought for an extended period of time. Now, the next Invest Talk, we'll look into this topic. Holiday scams are on the rise. And as the holiday season approaches, fraudsters are intensifying their tactics. We'll dig into that story tomorrow. But for now, I'm Justin Klein and ready to take your calls at 888-99-CHART.
Every investor is working to build a secure financial future. The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances for success. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Let's go take a live call. Nick from Hayward looking at SMCI.
Whether you're starting or scaling your company's security program, demonstrating top-notch security practices and establishing trust is more important than ever. Vanta automates compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more, saving you time and money while helping you build customer trust. Plus, You can streamline security reviews by automating questionnaires and demonstrating your security posture with a customer-facing trust center, all powered by Vanta AI. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, Flow Health, and Quora use Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. Get $1,000 off Vanta when you go to vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off.
Shop early, save big, all month long during Black Friday Buildup at Lowe's. Right now, get select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at just $59.98. Don't wait to save. Shop these deals today, in-store or online. Because Lowe's knows deals. Discount taken at time of purchase. While supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Yes, sir. Justin, I know they have some kind of an issue going on, but it's dropped so much. I have a few shares, and I was wondering, I'm down just a little bit. I'm wondering, will it ever come back, in your opinion, or what do you advise?
Well, the first is, it will unlikely to ever get back to $120 per share like it was in March. Okay. So this is, I think, one of those examples of the type of companies where some people are going to buy this to think, oh, look, it was trading at this. It has to go back to that level at some point. No stock is guaranteed to go back to that level. Now, that's number one. Right. Number two is they have accounting issues. And so, you know, to look at earnings and say this is their level of profitability that is reasonable and, you know, based on $21 per share it's trading at now, that this is quote unquote cheap. Because you don't know exactly based on those accounting errors what that really means. Okay. And so I don't think of it that way. Think of it more, it's sold off. It has a certain amount of demand because of the type of servers that it creates, et cetera. But one big red flag on this name was always, it's free cash flow. Free cash flow has been negative for all this year. So if their business is doing so well, why is their free cash flow negative? Now, I do think it's from a technical perspective, it's oversold and probably due for a bounce. But that's it. Uh-huh. And beyond that, beyond buying this for a bounce, and to be clear, I actually sold some puts with some well below the current price, about 20-30% below where it's at now. Uh-huh. Just because I see that as about as low as it's probably going to go in the short term. But that's all you can say about it, that this is likely to have some sort of a bounce. Beyond that, it's not an investment at this point because you don't understand what the business really looks like. Okay. And that's it. Right. That's as far as you can go. I can't tell you this is a good investment. It may be an incredible buying opportunity, and the market may be way too down on its true prospects as a business. But when I go look at that free cash flow, I go, well, something's wrong here. You know, you can't have that negative free cash flow, $2.5 billion trailing 12 months, but it's supposed to be making, you know, 221 last year, 287 this year, and then 354 next year. Those were the analyst estimates. Obviously, all that's going to be adjusted and come down. But clearly it doesn't jive with a very profitable company. And, you know, that's why we like to focus on cash flow and not just what the reported earnings are, because that can be fudged. So for a bounce, I think it's good risk versus reward. Yeah. Beyond that, still TBD. Now, let's make it two questions. What was that?
You're right on, I'm saying.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it. Hopefully, good luck with it and good luck with that bounce. All right, let's make it two in a row. This one came in earlier from a listener in Las Vegas on 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Justin and Luke. Happy Veterans Day. This is Rob from Las Vegas. I just wanted to get your analysis on RTX Corporation, symbol as RTX. It's in the aerospace and defense sector. I picked this up back earlier in the year, about 104, and it's had a nice run up. It represents about 3% of my portfolio. Just wanted to kind of pick your brain if this would be an ideal position, especially with a new administration coming in. Should I hang on to this, or are there maybe just sell the positions to use in other areas? Looking forward to answering the next podcast. Thank you.
All right, thank you for that call. Looking at RTX Raytheon Corporation, and I will say from a technical perspective, I'm actually seeing some pretty poor negative divergence here. It is near an all-time high, but it did have a pretty big reversal recently on October 21st, so even pre-election. And it's had a bounce since the election, but it's still below those highs. And I don't like that. I don't like that from a technical perspective. You know, you would think that with the bullish move in the markets that it would make an all-time high, especially because it's not far from that all-time high, around $129 per share. Now we're $123 and change. So it's pretty close to that. But I worry about a couple things. The first is if, you know, Trump talks about not liking wars. Now, he is, the rumor is that he's going to appoint Marco Rubio as his was it National Security Advisor, Secretary of State, excuse me. And he's pretty neoconish and, you know, pretty hawkish when it comes to, you know, Israel and, you know, the rest of the world. And so, you know, I think that's one indication that maybe his rhetoric isn't matching his appointments. But, you know, that's still a rumor. It's still TBD. In addition to, you know, how much are we going to continue to spend on military, especially big weapons projects, et cetera, that Raytheon would execute on. And we know that the cost of the debt is now higher than our military budget. And so I think there's going to be, in some ways, some cleaning house. And I think there's a lot more risk to the downside here than the upside. So I would be, especially based on the chart, the rest of it is just kind of my general feeling about the trends within government spending and government spending on military. But the chart speaks for itself, really. This is starting to lose momentum. It's starting to get bearish, and I would be selling it. Thanks for the call. Now let's touch a bit on a similar type of company, but more speculative. And there are some lessons here. And this is a company called Lilium. And this is a startup that is looking to develop electric vertical takeoff and landing vehicles. We call them eVTOLs. EVTOLs. And basically, these are electric helicopters. And this is a German company, and it's applying for what is called self-administration proceedings, roughly equivalent to Chapter 11 here in the United States. And what's interesting here is that a lot of the governments around the world have been lending to these type of companies in order to keep them afloat. And Germany is saying enough is enough. Germany's Green Party, which is a member of the governing coalition, blocked an expected $100 million euro loan to extend their life. And this is kind of the first within the industry, because other countries like the US, France, China, Brazil, even the UK are all attempting to support this industry in some way or another. Now, here in California, there is a company called Joby Aviation. JOBY is the symbol on the NYSE or NASDAQ. I'm not sure what they're listed on, but it's another one of those names that has continued to be down since its IPO back in the fall of 2020, when it IPO'd around $10, $11 per share. Now that's at $6.32. There's also Britain's Vertical Aerospace, Brazil's Eve Air Mobility. They're all receiving some sort of government aid. But if you look at Lilium and you see that it's trading as a penny stock now, and that's after a 2021, September 15, 2021, there was a SPAC. Remember the SPAC craze? This is one of those companies that they bought, and now it's likely to go bankrupt. And there's one lesson to you there. That there's not really anything new under the sun. And when you get too much liquidity in markets, people do stupid stuff with that money. And obviously, there was way too much liquidity in markets in 20 and 2021. And this is one of those casualties. But this isn't just about Lilium. It's about the sector as a whole. And the market's obviously a lot less bullish on the sector as they were just a couple of years ago. Almost all of these EV toll companies are either gone or lost most of their value. And really, it's about new technology that does not have proven economics, does not have really proof that this is a product that is in need and that can be turned into a profitable business. When you get those type of companies, it's almost guaranteed to fail because they turn into vehicles of, pun intended there, I guess, vehicles to simply raise capital and keep the dream alive rather than get to an ultimate end product, because oftentimes that end product is uneconomical. Now, Lilium was projected to lose another 1.2 billion euros over the next 5 years, which is 12 times the cash that they were expected to raise by the end of this year. It shows you, we're going to lose 1.2 billion. We're going to raise 100 billion this year. But guess what? That means you need to raise continually 100 billion pretty much every 6 months for the next 5 years. And other companies have a similar ratio. Jobby is at 10 times, meaning they're supposed to lose 10 times more money than they have on hand at the current time over the next 5 years. Eve, the one out of Brazil, 4 times. Now that is 80% owned by Embraer, think of Boeing of Brazil. And so, you know, at least they have some ways to keep that going. But you can see that these are Ponzi type companies that are no longer working. And so the lesson here is don't bet on these. Think of the space. Remember the space craze? I mean, I think SPCE is still alive, right? Virgin Galactica, you know, that at a high of $1,100 per share, split adjusted, that's at $7. So don't invest in companies because it sounds cool and you're dreaming of, you know, that next big innovation that's going to change the world, because 99.9% out of 100 of them don't work out and you lose everything. And a good guide is, okay, maybe it's a startup, maybe it's a new company, but they're going after a market that other companies have turned profit in, that other companies have proved the concept of a go-to market strategy. And maybe this is a new way of looking at it, a new way of making it happen, and maybe they can get there. But companies that are chasing some nebulous thing in the sky are bad ways to invest. Let's now take another live call. Nick from Seattle looking at LPLA.
Yeah, hey, Justin.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing all right. Yeah, so calling about LPL Financial, yep. It's a new stock to me. They provide advisory services, from what I understand, and brokerage mm-hmm. services as well. Mm-hmm. I like that they have high customer retention due to switching costs. Mm-hmm. And historically, they've had strong revenue growth. Lately, it looks like it's been in the low teens, as well as a pretty good price to earnings ratio. And they're buying back stock, right? Which is pretty good as well. So, I'm looking to get your kind of a review on this company and what you think of it.
Yeah, looking at LPL Financial Holdings and. This is the type of broker that somebody like us would use, KP Financial. And we've looked at LPL. We've done due diligence some years back when we were looking at different brokers to potentially use. And LPL was one of them, along with TD, Schwab, Fidelity, etc. Now, we are at Schwab. That's who we use for our clients as the custodian. You always want a third your advisor to have a third-party custodian like Schwab, like LPL, like Fidelity, etc. And LPL, the difference between LPL and a Fidelity or a Schwab or an E-Trade is that there's no real retail side of the business. These are all advisors that custody their assets through LPL Holdings. And so when you want to move all your clients to a new advisory firm, yes, this is, you know, an issue is that they're sticky. And I don't want to have all my clients have to redo paperwork. I've done this before. We've done this at KPP Financial where we switched brokers and we had to have all our clients fill out new paperwork, get their accounts set up, get assets to move. Naturally, you lose a couple of clients because you can't get a hold of them or they just decide to go do something else with their money, et cetera. So it's not something you typically want to do, especially on the advisory level. Whereas, you know, on the individual level, if you have a account at Fidelity or E-Trade and you want to move to Schwab, you know, that's pretty easy. Money tends to move pretty easy using the ACAT process. So I like what you're looking at. I like this type of business. You know, so the question is, has this recent move, is this kind of got him ahead of itself? Now it's gone from 187 all back in August to $320 per share now. That's a pretty big move. And I would say it's overbought and needs to go through a consolidation period. But I do like what you're looking at. I do like this business. I think after a consolidation period, maybe chop sideways here around $300 per share, maybe dips back into the 370 to 375 area. 270 to 275 area. That would be a great place to pick it up. So I like what you're looking at. Good business, good balance sheet, good profitability. And I think on a pullback or consolidation period, it would be a buy for me. Thanks for the call. That was Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein. We have one goal here each and every weekday, and it's help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. And our work continues after this final break. So get your questions in now at 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk is ready 24/7 for your finance and investment questions.
I'm hoping you'll give me your take on Ormat Technologies, ORA.
Is it a good idea to sell your losses in a Roth IRA and just use whatever you have left to reinvest into better stocks?
Don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk. Tell your friends they can listen live, download the free podcast, or watch InvestTalk on our YouTube channel. And they can leave their finance and investment questions anytime on 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Justin and Luke. This is Kevin from Southern California. This week, Palantir, ticker PLTR, jumped a lot on earnings and been moving up a lot this past month. I feel like it's gotten too much hype based on the fundamentals. It's way overvalued. I intend to buy some puts on this stock. It's still going up. I'm wondering, as far as the strategy goes, would you wait for it to kind of plateau, look for a lot of volume at a high and then go ahead and buy them, or even buy a few now, maybe 6 months out for it to pull back some? Appreciate your thoughts. Thanks as always.
Well, you probably want to buy those puts in a couple of time periods. One is something like right now where it's overbought and it did have a called doji candle yesterday and looks to potentially be topping. Now, that's potential. That doesn't mean it's going to. It certainly can just consolidate from here and continue higher. You're right, it is very expensive. But obviously, their technology is needed. It's just a matter of, is it really worth $134 billion that it's trading for right now? That's the tough question. So, you know, if you're buying a long-term puts, this is probably a good place to do it. You know, buying puts that go out to maybe 2026 and beyond. Now, another way to look at it, too, is, you know, wait for the dam to break, meaning wait for a true indication that this thing has topped. Meaning breaking, say, the 50-day moving average, which it hasn't done really since this move, since May. And that would be saying, okay, now we're going through a corrective period and the multiples, you're going to be a multiple contraction, et cetera. And that could be from a much higher level too. And so that would save you a lot. So those are the two ways to look at it. If you really think it's topping now, obviously you'd want to take advantage. But you know, I would wait till I see the whites of the eyes, meaning some weakness from the chart that tells me, hey, maybe that downtrend is actually taking hold. And we've got another live call. Bill from Northern California looking at Merck.
Yeah. Hi, Justin. You know, I noticed a lot of the healthcare stocks have pulled back recently, and if you could comment on that. But I don't own any Merck. I had a couple years ago. I think I sold it at like $114. But I was thinking of getting back into it now that it's down below 100. What do you think is a good value to get in, if at all? And comparing it to like AbbVie, which I hold, and I was thinking of buying some more of that too.
Frankly, I think all these drug stocks are do not touch at the current time. You know, you have RFK. I think RFK's role in the election of Trump is underappreciated. He had a very strong following. Remember, he was polling in the high teens at one point, and he had a huge following amongst young people. And now he's going to be part of some part of the administration, it seems. Now, we don't know exactly what role that is yet, but obviously he continues to talk about it. Trump talks about, you know, he's being in charge of health. Maybe that's head of HHS. Who knows exactly what his role will be. But obviously he's pushing for more deployments of alternative medicines than your typical pharma drugs. So I think that this is could be a giant sea change in the healthcare industry if he takes hold. And I think this would be very detrimental to a lot of the drug companies. And so I think that's why you're seeing that relative weakness. And frankly, until I get more evidence, I'm going to take this on its face. I'm going to think that this is real. Even Trump said, you know, stay away from oil, but I'm going to, you know, you can be in charge of healthcare and getting, you know, make America healthy again. And so I don't think his views are give more people pharmaceutical drugs just based on, you know, his rhetoric. And so that's why you're seeing this weakness out of these names. And I continue to say don't touch, because I think there could be a lot more downside for most of these names. And I would be very, very underweight. We don't own any pharma names. Zero in our client portfolios. Thanks for the call. So I'm Justin Klein. This is another Invest Talk program. We thank you for listening. We encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes, Spotify, Google Play. And be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. And remember, we can help you better understand your portfolio dynamics and calculate your investor risk number in order to help you achieve your financial goals by heading over to investtalk.com, clicking on the portfolio review button. Remember, this is a free and confidential service. And if you haven't optimized the potential of your 401k, we can help you there as well. Start at investtalk.com. Independent thinking, shared success. It's InvestTalk. Good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.
AI might be the most important innovation ever. It's storming every industry, with literally billions being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs the right data and a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? Time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, and application development with AI embedded across it all. And Oracle Sovereign Cloud helps you address your requirements for location, access, and data residency. OCI provides blazing fast speeds for AI's demanding workloads. And in the cloud, when you pay by the minute, speed matters. And of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. If you want OCI to help you do more and spend less, like Uber, the Premier League, and Oracle Red Bull Racing, take a free test drive at oracle.com/bandwidth. That's oracle.com/bandwidth. oracle.com/bandwidth.